thinking about the message for today. Maybe I'll go into the world here a little bit, and as Thanksgiving is approaching, and talk a little bit about statistics as far as our eating for Thanksgiving. Statistically, 3,000 calories are consumed by the average person at Thanksgiving dinner. So those of you who are on a diet, 45 million turkeys will be eaten this Thanksgiving. 50 million pumpkin pies are eaten at Thanksgiving. 40 million green bean casseroles are made. 72 million cans of Ocean Spray Canberry sauce are purchased each year. I like that. But just some statistics there. And as we get into, excuse me, this week, I know we're shopping for groceries already, and I'm sure many of you are trying to get the specials and fight through the grocery store and parking lots. You know, it's a little busier in Sioux Falls than it is in Zinai. I'm coming to find that out. It's a little different. You could always find a parking spot in Zinai, but it's kind of hard. Last night it was in Sioux Falls. This week will probably be one of the busiest for many wives, for many of us. Maybe some are traveling, but especially for the housewife who is planning and going to have that big Thanksgiving dinner. Some planning probably months and weeks ahead for this special day, who to invite, who not to invite, what to plan for the meal. Turkey, of course, would be the main course. Vegetables, potatoes, or whatever. But we can't have a Thanksgiving dinner without the pumpkin pies either and desserts. Well, in the Bible, as I mentioned in my prayer at the beginning, how many times do we thank thanks in our prayers? It's a lot, isn't it? I don't think we have go through a prayer, each one of us, that there isn't a thanks there. And it's used over 140 times in the Bible. Just to name a few, 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, David said, "Give thanks to the Lord." Psalms 30:12, "I will give thanks unto the Lord forever." Psalm 95:2, "Come before his presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 100:4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." Philippians 4:6, "By prayer and petition and with thanksgiving." And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." But today I want to us to look at a little different thanks for this message today than Thanksgiving Day. As we look at lessons of thanksgivings from a leper. And so if you'll turn with me to Luke 17, and we'll read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. I like to hear those pages of the Bible going. Shall we stand? "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then Jesus said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Oh God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word that is here today. God, might my words be yours. Sanctify them. Lord, I just ask that your will would be done with each one here, with me. It speaks to me too today. Your word is true and evident, that it might be evident in our lives. As I said, sometimes we're the only Bible that people see. So I thank you, God, for your presence here. Might your spirit do its work within our souls and hearts. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want us to see that the 10 leopards called out to Jesus in verse 12 and 13. As he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They had to stay at a distance. These men were set off from the rest of the public. These 10 men had an incurable disease called leprosy. Leprosy was a painful disease, was a physical pain, but also it was an emotional pain along with that. You could actually watch the parts of the body or scale off and fall away. Your fingers, your ears, and nose may even drop off because of this. You died a slow death and a painful death. It was also contagious. Lepers were commanded by law to stand well at a distance from anybody. So with this disease of leprosy, there was also emotional pain too. The lepers were considered that they were the worst of sinners, so they were shut off from society. They couldn't mingle around with anyone but themselves or their family. No one knows how long these lepers had been shut off from their families, but it's said that they were exited from society. How long it had been since they had touched their wife? How long it had been since they had kissed their children or grandchildren and held them in their arms? Kept them from friends. Kept them from church gatherings. Leprosy was considered proof by the Jews that these were the worst. This was God's punishment for them, for something that they had really done bad. Leprosy even gradually destroyed the voice. So in their desperation, these 10 lepers cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were crying out because they were in a hopeless state of health. Probably a hopeless state of the soul too. But they called out to Jesus. "Jesus, have mercy upon me." These lepers had many things in common with us today. And I want to draw a parallel of that from the leprosy to our sinful state of all of us. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 5:19 says, "Just as though the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners," and of course that's talking about Adam. We all have this deadly and nasty disease of sin in ourselves. It can rot our lives, it can rot our flesh, it can rot our soul, and it can cause us to be unclean. It can cause us to be like filthy rags. They were all dying men, and you and I are dying people without Christ. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. So without the hope of Jesus Christ healing our salvation, we have no hope either, do we? Our hope is in Christ. Unless we call out and confess to Jesus Christ our sins, we are hopeless. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, we are hopeless. We are bound for eternal hell. But thanks be to God for his glorious blood that was shed on that cross." Verse 13, "And they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Secondly, Christ's response to the leper's cry. Jesus looked at them with compassion and healed them. Jeremiah 33:3, God said, "Call to me and I will answer you." Romans 12:10-13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." As Jesus stopped and looked upon these men outside that city gate, he had compassion on them. These men, Jesus could see their hearts. He could see their condition. He could see that they were rejected, that they were forsaken, that they were in miserable condition. Notice in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. They were showed and told by Jesus to go to the chief priests. And that was a law. That was a law way back in Leviticus. If you wanted to read a lot of law, go to Leviticus. Leviticus 13:1-3. "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'When anybody has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on his skin that may become an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on his skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is an infectious skin disease. When the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him ceremonial unclean." And he was excluded from the city or from the family. So why did Jesus, do you suppose, tell them to go show themselves to the priests? What hope did they have in the priest? Jesus not only wanted the 10 lepers to see his grace and his cleansing power, but Jesus wanted the priest to see that their bodies were completely healed by him. This story should teach each one of us, no matter how sinful a condition we have been or may be in at this moment, unclean, we are. Unworthy, we are. Maybe a hopeless state that we are. That Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the great physician. He is the healer. The same is for us as infected sinners today. We must first take that step of faith. Acts 2:21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We cannot cure ourselves from sin, although many think that they can. The It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It's only by the healing power of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. After these lepers thought that they were cleansed, there was only one leper who returned, verses 15 and 16. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So thirdly, the one leper was thankful. When leper saw he was healed, he came back to Jesus. Not only did the leper praise God, but he fell at Jesus' feet. How long has it been since we've fell at Jesus' feet? Maybe it's something we need to do today. Let's get out on our knees and thank God for his mercy. I believe we're living in a time of grace for all to get their lives in order instead of disorder. I think we can become so involved in the activities of this world, the distractions of this world, that the cross becomes foggy in our lives. Sometimes it gets foggy in mine. But I praise God for the living hope that I have, that he gives me the vision to look beyond myself. Isn't it easy to look at ourselves? Take care of Bill. Make sure he's right. Make sure he's got enough food. Make sure he's got enough money. Make sure he's got enough friends. Make sure he's got enough points with God. That's all trash. It's all filthy rags. But I thank him for the grace. All these men had the same awful disease. Jesus healed them, but only one of the lepers returned and offered thanksgiving. How long has it been since we've talked to Christ? How long has it been since we've given him thanks? Maybe we've accepted Christ 50 years ago. 40 years ago, but have we really thanked him? Have we shown in our lives that we thanked him? God created each one. He created your neighbor. He created your sons and daughters. He created your co-workers. We need to reach them if they're unsaved. Second Corinthians 6:2 says, "For God says, your cry came to me at a favorable time, when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is here to save you. Why wait? Why put it off? Was the leper thankful? He praised God and fell at his feet. God restored his voice. Remember I said some lepers lost their voice? It says in the Word, he cried out in a loud voice. I believe maybe four reasons why this leper was so thankful. He had been left to die. Now he had a new life again, a spiritual and physical. He had been rejected. Now he was received. He had been homeless. Now he could go home to his family. He had been in a hopeless case. Now he had a new hope. And that new hope is in Christ. And it's the same for us. Without Christ in our lives, we are hopelessly bound for hell or no hope, and with no hope of return. But if we call out to God, we confess our sins and ask Him for forgiveness, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old junk, the old life is gone. The new has come. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No works, money, being a good person can get you into heaven. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. There was one leper who was safe, thankful, but there was, fourthly, nine lepers who were thankless. Verse 17, Jesus said, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Jesus asked, where are the nine? Of these 10 men, there were nine Jews and one Samaritan. The Jews certainly should have known. Jews viewed Samaritans as half-breeds, imperfect people. Jews had much more knowledge. We know that, much more knowledge of God and who God was than the Samaritans. Samaritans didn't have much knowledge of who God was, or they didn't even worship God. Yet it was the Samaritan who glorified God. They didn't return to Jesus after they had been, even to the priests, they didn't return to Christ and been restored and didn't return to Christ. Verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? How did Jesus know out of the 10 that the one Samaritan would come back? Jesus knows the number of hairs upon your head. He knows your words before they even come off your lips. He created heaven and earth and the stars, the moon, and the air we breathe, so I would think that he knew that only one could come back. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Maybe we think we can hide some things from God. I don't think so, because He knows your heart. Your faith has healed you, in verse 19. Not only was this leper saved from leprosy, he was saved inside his soul and his heart. He was saved. This man was healed by the divine power of Jesus Christ, inside and out. How many of us are like the nine lepers? Maybe some of my suggestions that may reveal maybe some of our actions. One wanted to see if the cure was real. before he would go back to Jesus. Maybe one waited for the see if the cleansing would last. Maybe one said he would tell Jesus thanks at a later time. One may have decided he really never had leprosy. It was only just a rash. Denial. Maybe one said he would eventually have gotten well anyhow. Maybe one said Jesus didn't really do anything. It was luck. I remember Reggie and us talking about luck in Bible study. He'd say, there's no luck. And I'd throw that in once in a while when I was leading the Bible study. There's no luck, he would respond in risen. It's all about God's will. How long will it take us to return to Christ? Jesus' cure for sin is real, and it's long-lasting. It's forever and forever if we allow it to. Jesus paid the price at Calvary. To think we will eventually get well from the sickness of sin on our own is a false hope. Even today, our world hears that really we aren't sinners. There is no eternal destiny such as hell. We are all saved, a universal salvation. You're going to heaven no matter what. God is a loving God. But God is a judge too. Well, there's many ways to Christ. False, false, false. There's only one way to God, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'll leave a little message for you today from D.L. Moody, a statement. I'm going to end with that. When you're struggling with sin in your life, remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Our focus is upon looking up because we know what Christ can do. We've experienced, I pray that each one of us experience what Christ can do in our lives. But D.L. Moody made this statement. When Satan comes to talk with you about your past, why don't you talk to him about his future? Pretty good statement. You know where his future is. Do you know where your future is? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. Oh God, a thanksgiving unto a Jesus who is alive. You showed us, Lord, you revealed that in your ministry here when you're here on earth, that you fought temptation with your word. That God, you blessed people, you healed people. You touched people. God, touch each one here today. Might they know you as their personal Savior. Thank you, God, for each one. Lord, I just pray that when Satan comes to attack us, that we'll talk to him about his future and talk to him about Christ.